Good morning, everybody. Was that a bit different? I don't know what they ate for breakfast this morning, but have it again next week. Awesome. We're starting a new series called Love, and I just need to give you a bit of background and just ease you into it, because if you're like overly religious, you could just have your foundation shaken. I heard a song a couple of weeks ago, and it sort of, you know, when you get a tune and it sticks in your head, was one of those. And then I got, someone sent me a teaching by Dan Moller, or Moller, it's not Moller like in Afrikaans. And I was listening to it, and yes, this theme of love just came through. So some of the quotes I'm using are from him today. And then V and I were sitting somewhere discussing love, and we thought, wouldn't it be an awesome idea to take the titles of well-known songs that everyone knows with the word love in it and base a message around that? And as the Lord has led us, this is what is happening. I mean, we've spent days, we've discussed more about love in the last week than we have in the last 30 years of marriage. we usually just show love. But we've been discussing it intently. And so it's going to be a little bit different for the coming weeks, okay? We're going to play some songs you might not hear in church. We'll keep it light and only play a snippet so you get the idea. We're not deviating from the gospel. We're not becoming like some sort of cult or whatever. It's just to get the message across. Is everyone okay with that? And you're going to come back next week. And you're bringing someone with you. And you're going to share love. Okay. The values of this church is to be found in God, to be formed in community so we become fruitful in the world. To be found in God, you need to understand love. To be formed in community, you need to be transformed by love. And to be fruitful in the world, you've got to go share love. So in the coming weeks, that is exactly what we're going to be doing with you. Getting to the found part, which is today, then the formed, and then eventually the fruitful. But we need somewhere to start. So what's love got to do with it? I guess people incorrectly assume or believe that love is an emotion. And it's almost impossible to describe emotions. Because I don't think we have enough words to describe the intensity of emotions, especially one like love. So I try to look for ways to explain to you what love is. And I found some acronyms. And this is what these acronyms said. The first one was loss of valuable energy. Isn't that positive? This guy must have been dumped a few times. Okay? And I'm not going there again. Or it's a girl who was left at the altar or whatever the case may be. Another one said living our values every day. And that I can relate to that, living our values every day. Then one said, life's only valuable emotion. Well, if it is an emotion, that's true, and that's good. At weddings, when I marry people, I usually always end up somewhere in the message saying, love is a verb. And a verb means you need to take action. A verb is a doing word. So love is actually an action. Love is a choice you make. It's a decision that you make to do something, in this case, love. So I came up with this acronym that indicates action. The Lord's overcoming victorious effort. That's love. Okay? That is exactly what we want to get down into your hearts today so that your minds are changed and you're open to that love. So, what does love have to do with it? What does love have to do with anything? What does love have to do with this and this? What is it about love? We know it's not an emotion. You should know by now it's an action. And it's an action based on restoration. It's an action meant to restore each one of us to our original setting. I don't know about you, but I cannot believe that or imagine for one moment that God created all things to be like they are today. The wars, the bitterness, the murders, the rapes, the jealousy, the pride, the people taking each other on and breaking each other down. I can't believe a God would create a world to be like we are living in. Now, if that is true, then this is not a very good idea of love that we're experiencing in our everyday life, is it? And I can't believe that anyone can believe that this was God's intent, what we experience on a daily basis, what we read in our news and we see on TV. There was an original intent. There wasn't an original setting. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to work like on a digital device or electronic component, reset your DSTV decoder or whatever. And eventually it gives you the option, reset to factory settings. Okay? And that's usually a good idea because you're just going to mess it up further. Okay, so take it back to the way the maker intended it to be. The factory setting for earth, for where we live, was peace. It was man living in harmony with nature and in harmony with others. It was man being loved by God and man loving God in return. That was God's idea. And then sin came in and gained a victory, but didn't gain a complete win. It might have been, it is a temporary victory, but it didn't conquer God's original intent, which is for creation to be loved, you, and for you to love in return. That is why we are. You see, love is an action. And it was a decision taken by God, despite what we have done, to return us to Him, pressing the reset button. Now that has spanned across generations, okay? And it led up to the cross of Jesus Christ. But the cross was only a milestone. It wasn't the finished product. The finished product is when Jesus returns to take His church, the bride of Christ, with Him. Then the cycle of love is repeated. What God intended from the beginning will reach its fulfillment. We, ladies and gentlemen, are in a process. When Jesus returns, the love action will be complete. And if you don't become part of the process, you're going to get left behind. And that's the last thing God wants for you. So, what does love have to do with it? Absolutely everything. It's why we are. It's where we're going. It's where we come from. It's who we are. And it is who God is. Love. Tina Turner had it completely wrong. Completely. She said it was a secondhand emotion. It was a primary action by a loving God who wishes to love His people and to be loved in return by them. It's no emotion. It was a choice. So when we look at the cross and we think the cross was for sin, it was. But it was more so for love. The symbol of love isn't a heart. It's a cross. That's the symbol of love. And if where we're going in the next few weeks, we need this foundation. We need an understanding of the purpose of the cross and the intent of the cross. We need to be able to understand and relate to a very well-known scripture. In fact, it is the most commonly quoted scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, there's the motivation. There's the motivation. The reason for God so loved. Because He loved, He gave. And because He loved, He decided to take action. Because love is a choice. And God chose us. God chose you. Even after we had sinned, even after we had turned our back on Him, even after we had denied Him on countless occasions, even though we worshipped other things and other idols and we made things more important than Him, God still chose and is still choosing to love you. And you might think, what Jesus did on the cross was for those people, was for back then. What impact could it have on me today? Well, then I want to ask you, why are you here? Why are you here? How did you get here? What guided you? What prompted you? What has commissioned you internally to be here? It's the Holy Spirit. Because God loves you. And you weren't present at the cross. But you get to experience the benefits of the cross by the calling and the drawing in of the Holy Spirit, because it was a decision taken to love. The cross was love. And the only time the work of the cross will stop, its earthly work, is when the Son heavenly returns. Then it's over. Yeah. But then we begin anew with Him, living like it was intended, back to the factory setting. I can't wait. So God chose, and Jesus chose. Like Dan Moeller said, you need to understand the truth about love and then discover the reality of love in you. You need to understand the truth of love and discover the reality of that love in you. Then the cross wasn't only about being loved. The cross was so that you could be love. Every action has got a reaction. When you receive God's love, you become love to others. And that is why you will then be the church. And only then, when you've accepted and you start sharing that love. You see, the truth is, Jesus went to the cross because without the cross, no one could be saved. But that wasn't its only purpose. It saved you. But it managed to achieve something else. To equip you with what you need and to become who you should be in love, through love, and because of love. To be loving to God and to others. That is the purpose of the cross. And Jesus always had a choice. He had to choose to take action. You see, God chose to send, but Jesus had to say, I'm going. And even when He went to Jerusalem, He still had a choice. Am I going to go to Jerusalem? I know what's ahead of me. When He was being questioned, He still chose you. When He was being whipped, He still chose you. When He had to take up that cross and walk those streets with people spitting on Him and pulling out His beard and all these things, He still chose you. When those nails are driven through Him, He still chose you. When He was wasted up on that cross, He was Jesus. Surely He could have done something. He did. He chose you. Because He loves you. And He wants you to understand that love. You see, it was love that drove Him to the cross. But it was love that kept Him on that cross. And we need to understand the sacrificial love. You see, love took Him to the tomb, but love caused the empty tomb. And ultimately, love had absolutely everything to do with all of you and all of us. Jesus made a choice so that you could have a choice. And you get to choose to love, be loved or not. In this passage of Scripture, John 3:16, we discussed it last week. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, someone who understood the law. And He told Nicodemus, like we said, you've got to be born again. He was saying to him, you've got to make a choice. Nicodemus to be born again or not. And he goes on to explain, this leads into John 3:16, for God so loved the world that we could have a choice. And you need to choose, Nicodemus, and everyone coming after Nicodemus, to be the light or be the dark, to be love or to be hate, to be saved or unsaved, to bask in love or merely survive in a world full of hatred and bitterness and evil. You get to make that choice, because God's love was so pure and so strong, it's still in force today, asking you to respond with a yearning in the Father's heart that you would say, I choose to be loved and I choose to become love, to be changed by it. You see, when you decide to follow Jesus, when you choose to follow Him, everything changes. True, some changes might take a little bit longer, but change is inevitable when you surrender to His love. And the motivation of life isn't about getting to heaven one day. It's about getting heaven into you every single day. It's love. Living a life different to what you were before you discovered the love of the cross. Because we've got a goal in all of this. There has to be a goal. There must be something we're working towards. And it's not only to reach heaven one day. It is more so Galatians 2:20, which says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is our goal. To be crucified with Christ. To take everything we were and pin it to the cross of Christ and say, I'm no longer that. I am the new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I've got Christ in me and I'm going to live Christ out through me. He loved me so I can love others. Because I understand I'm love, I'm able to impart love. But then you've got to choose love. And it's not easy. And that's why so many of you have got a walk that's up and down. Then you're on fire for the Messiah, and then you're not. Then you're in church, and then you're not. Then you're loving to people, and then you're not. Because you get to choose the most difficult choice every single day of your life, to be love or not. To take up your cross daily, to bear the burden every single day, you get to choose, am I going to do that? You get to choose, how am I going to respond? Am I going to respond in love or not? You get to choose in every dilemma you face, how do I face this, on my own or with love? You get the choice every single day, and that is what makes us walk so difficult, because to choose Jesus in all situations isn't always easy, because sometimes you've got to choose the more difficult road. Sometimes you've got to choose to walk away from people. Other times you've got to choose to walk towards people. It is not easy. Sometimes you've got to choose to ignore your emotion and act with what is in your heart, love. Sometimes you've got to refute anger and bring joy. You've got to go counter to what your nature says, because your nature, when it becomes Christ, will respond correctly. But until then, you get to choose. And that's what makes it difficult. And that is why we don't have so many people on this narrow road, because we don't understand love. We haven't let love consume us and filter through us. It's a tremendous responsibility to acknowledge His love. Takes a real man and a real woman. And for us mere mortals, this seems impossible, isn't it? That's why Jesus goes on to say, with God, all things are possible. That is why He said it. With God, all things are possible, because we are mere mortals, exposed to life and to what is within us. And until he consumes us, what is in us will come out. And it's not always Jesus. That's why we got to go through the process of sanctification so we can be fulfilled through the restoration of the love of Christ. We need to give in and we need to choose daily. And this is why Nicodemus was told, you get yourself born again. You get yourself filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's only the Holy Spirit that will keep you on this narrow road. It's only the Holy Spirit that will be your guardrails on the road of life, keeping you from going off. That is why the Holy Spirit is so important. You see, Jesus didn't only come to give you life. He came to be your life. This is powerful stuff, people. Are you beginning to comprehend this love? Do you understand it yet? You see, the Son came and the Spirit was sent to give you life and to grow life in you. That's love. When you understand that, then you can say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's the fullness of that decision you've made to not only acknowledge the love, but to accept it and to become it. And the Apostle Paul was very, very concerned about this aspect of our understanding of love. And every single letter he wrote to the churches alludes to you being loved, understanding love, accepting love, and sharing that love, because it was that important and it's still important today. How are we going to be the church if we're not even filled by the one who is the church, Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit? We need to get to that place. It's like we come to church, we hear a few good songs, we clap hands, we might even raise a hand, and when we go out here, we don't look like the church because we don't understand and we haven't been filled with that love. That love's calling you, people. It's calling you louder this morning than you might ever have heard in your life. And it doesn't matter how long you've been on the road with Christ. Maybe it's time you go to the higher road, the higher life, the life with true love, filled with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we need to be that in order to be the church. I can stand week in and week out preaching to you, be the church, be the church. But until you get found in God, you can't get formed in the community and you won't be fruitful in the world. You'll hear in the coming weeks, everyone can do good deeds, but we need people doing God deeds. And then you need the love of Christ. You see, Paul is so concerned with the church in Ephesus, he writes the following to them in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family and in heaven and earth derives its name. That's us. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, important, and to know this love, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then he goes on, and he lays a claim to the greatness of God, now unto him, but now unto you. Do you know the love? Do you know a part of it? It's time we get to know all of it. It's time we just get real with ourselves and say, Lord, I've missed this. I know of the love. I've experienced some of it. But I've never accepted all of it. God has got an intention this morning. That's to get you to a place. Like Paul did, said here, now I kneel before the Father. To get you to kneel before the Father and to accept His love and to allow the love to change you so you can be love. See, what has love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. But do you know that love that changes everything? Do you know that love that will do anything to get you changed? You've got to accept it in here. And you've got to let it work through you. You've got to make time for that love to restore you and change you. And that love to earnestly love you so you can be love. We don't get to that part of the process often. We say a sinner's prayer and think that's it. That's the start. That is only the start. So this morning, without being dramatic, we need to kneel before the Father and we need to say, I accept your love and I want that love to change me, Lord. I don't want to sing about it. I don't want to read about it. I want to experience it. And I'm going to pray that that happens. As the praise and worship team comes back, we're just going to sit. They're just going to play gently in the background. And I want to pray for you. But you see, it's you that's got to kneel before the Father. It's not me, it's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your friend. You got to kneel before the Father and you got to open yourself to this love. If you want to really relate to the rest of the series, this is the first step. This is the big one. This is where God reaches out to you and you got to put up your hand and take hold of His. In Jesus' name. Amen.